Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Mark Phillip, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, I was a mystery reader at my son's school, and I live to tell the tale. I once stared down Steven Seagal on a side street in New Orleans. As he slowly and methodically approached me in his dark black kimono, I realized two things. Steven Seagal is a big man, and I think he's coming over to kick my ass. And much to the sudden surprise of my pants, my ass responded appropriately to the situation. The fear I felt that day, both in my heart and Haynes, was real, but paled in comparison to the horror I faced this morning as I glanced at my calendar. Mystery Reader Day. Surely this was a mistake. When I signed up in December, February was a lifetime away. I checked my email and there it was, the dreaded teacher reminder. Be there at 11:05. Knock on the door. We'll ask who it is. You respond, mystery reader. Some people disguise their voices, but you don't have to. We'll ask a series of questions and try to guess who it is. Bring 1 to 2 books. It was time to pay the pre-K piper. Listen, I'm usually faced with hundreds of creative decisions on any given day, and I'm fairly good with making the right ones in a relatively quick manner. But this email, stoked a level of uncertainty and unease I hadn't felt since my 7th grade junior high dance. Some people disguise their voices, but you don't have to. Oh, come on, really? The passive-aggressive subtext just oozed out. But you don't have to, unless, of course, you want to be considered a failure of a parent. Now, a good go-to default voice disguise is always fake British. But I'm horrible at accents, especially fake British. I always sound like Michael Caine with a speech impediment. So no, I will not be doing fake British. Just as the panic began to set in, I miraculously see my mystery reader muse staring at me like a siren calling out to a sailor. Hidden in my son's room beneath a pile of, well, crap, was a tiger mask. Yes, yes, yes. Not only would this rubber-made spirit animal guide my vocal decisions for the forthcoming third degree, it would up the ante with all those poor parental souls that would receive the next dreaded email reminder. Some people disguise their voices, but you don't have to. We did, however, have one remarkably gifted parent who went above and beyond his mystery reader duties with a performance reminiscent of Mufasa at the Minskoff. But of course, you don't have to. It would, if attempted, be a hard act to top. With that out of the way, it was time to move on to more pressing matters. Bring 1 to 2 books. I have a hard enough time picking out 1 to 2 books on a normal night when I'm reading to my own son. How does one go about choosing 1 to 2 books for a room full of pint-sized Susian sycophants with lawyers on retainer? First, there's the whole subject matter thing. This is easier said than done in today's touchy, triggered climate. Anything written pre-aughts is a hard pass. Everything in them is offensive to someone, somewhere. Throw them out immediately. Or better yet, just burn them. Warning, just because a book was written post-2K doesn't mean you're in the clear. Dragons love tacos? No. Food allergies? All my friends are dead? Negative. Ghostwriter. The old lady that swallowed a bell? Straight perversion. Now that you've narrowed the field down, turn your eyes towards length. too short, and you're left with dead air in a room full of thieving vervet monkeys. They will pickpocket you simply out of spite for your lack of solid literary decisions. Too long, and you run the greatest risk, boredom. Being surrounded by bored five-year-olds is like Lord of the Flies meets Firefest. No one gets out alive, and someone inevitably goes to jail. And finally, there's design. Keep it simple, but not too engaging. The last thing you want is something like, "There's a monster in my book," that requires touching from little Miss Bonnie Boogerfingers sitting in the front row, and fully audit all potential illustrations. Rolling in with a rocket phallus or poo-poo-shaped rock is a third rail you don't need in your life right now. It's 10:30. I'm sick to my stomach. I grab my trusty tiger mask and two of my favorites, Iggy Peck Architect and Stuck, and head out. 11 o'clock. As I sit outside the classroom door wearing the tiger as a second skin, other teachers take note of me. Their faces do not lie. Disturbed, perplexed, alarmed. God, I hope they're not armed. The inside of my mask hits 130 degrees. This is approximated as I don't have an on-mask thermometer. Sweat collects. Time slows. There is only one thought in my head now. I have made a horrible decision. 11:05 ticks loudly on my Timex, and in my head gongs even louder like Big Ben. I chalk this up to the Chinese latex surrounding my lobes. Fuck it. I bang as loudly as I can on the door. I am a tiger, damn it. You will hear me roar. To my surprise, I hear nothing in return. Is this the right room? Is this even the right day? Is this even real? I bang again. The reply finally comes. Who is it? I roar. Oh, it's a monster. I'm gutted. That was clearly a tiger roar, lady. Let's ask the monster some questions. Again, not a monster, ma'am.
Do you have a Silda Fadstaff?
WTF? Ask it again, Lila.
Do you have a Silda Fadstaff?
I now realize that the combination of the thick wooden door, along with the heat and sweat trapped inside my tiger face, has caused me to go temporarily deaf to the sweet sounds of little Lila's voice. I have no idea what she's asked. I rough then growl to both acknowledge the question, but more importantly, give a non-committal response to said unknown question that wouldn't give me away either way if one were to actually know the question and answer. I have clearly outsmarted little Lila. I am a proud lion. Okay. The teacher replied with a slick air of condescension. Looks like we found the author of the email. Let's ask the monster some more questions. And one by one they came, and one by one I growled, roared, gruffed, and bluffed my way through them. After 30 minutes, or more realistically three, of this, they mercifully opened the door, and I busted through with one final monsterly roar. And that's when I saw him, and that's when he saw me. A slow-motion smile, a subsequent fast-motion run, followed by the tightest hug this tiger ever felt. And that's when I realized two things. First, anything in this life that's worth doing is always worth doing well, and when it comes to your kids, it's always worth it. And secondly, I'm pretty sure this tiger, in this moment, would kick the living shit out of Steven Seagal. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.